This morning I would like to speak to you about one of the heroes of the Old Testament. Apostle Paul lists him in the company of such stewards as Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. He's listed amongst the heroes of the faith, a man of great strength, and his name is Samson. The history of his life is a miracle birth and recorded in 4 chapters in the book of Judges, chapters 13 through to 16. Samson was a miracle child, just like Isaac or John, or John the Baptist, where his mother was barren and could not have any children. In chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, we are told that the angel of the Lord appeared to the wife of Manasseh of the tribe of Dan, who lived in the city of Zorah. She had no children, but the angel said to her, "Even that you have been barren for so long, you will soon conceive and have a son." Manasseh cried to the Lord, "Give him more instruction about the child." The angel, speaking to Manasseh, told him, "To be sure that your wife follows the instructions, that she must not eat grapes, raisins, or drink any wine, or fermented drink, nor eat anything that is unclean." Twice before Samson's birth, an angel of the Lord communicated with the parents that the mind of the mother should be impressed with the importance of the birth of the child. With the life, the virility comes from the father. The mother is greatly to do with the stamping out of the character. And in the mother's weakened condition prior to her birth, her child, the father could not and should realize the situation and appreciate his privilege of surrounding the mother with a fine intellectual and spiritual influences. Thus the father molds the thoughts of the mother and leads them into a profitable direction, where the mother in turn stamps those high, noble aspirations upon the child, that he might be well born, an honor to the family, a blessing to the community, and above all, to be qualified to be a servant of God. When the child was born, they named him Samson. Samson means sunny, sunlight, like the sun. We all know what the power of the sun is like. Just try to look at the sun for a few seconds, and you will know just what I mean. The power of the sun. He was a Nazarite. Nazarite, the Hebrew word Nazar, meaning dedicated, separated, singled out. There were two classes of Nazarites, those who volunteered and those who have been of divine appointment. The instruction governing volunteer Nazarites are found in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. A special vow to the Lord could be taken up by either man or woman to live as a Nazarite for a period of time. But if the daughter's father or a wife's husband heard the vows of the respective families, they could cancel the vows if they did not approve of them. Numbers chapter 30 and verses 1 to 8. There were three principal restrictions on those taking the Nazarite vow. 1. They were not to drink any wine and any other fermented drink, and must not drink vinegar made from vine or from other fermented drink, nor drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins, grape seeds or even grape skins. The second restriction during the entire period of his vow of separation, no razor may be used on his head. He must let his hair grow long. And the third restriction, throughout the whole period of his separation to the Lord, he must not go near the dead body. Even if his own father or mother or brother or sister dies, he must not make himself ceremonially unclean on the account of them, because the symbol of the separation to God is on his head. And even by chance, if an accident occurred beyond the Nazarite's control and he touched somebody that died alongside him, did made Nazarite unclean for 7 days. And on the 7th day, he was to shave his head and purify himself. And the next day, he was to bring to the priest 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. On serving as a sin offering, the other serving as a burnt sacrifice. On one, having taken the vow of Nazareship, must now been all over again, counting the days of the vow as mentioned in the beginning. We read about that in Numbers chapter 6 and verses 8 to 12. In the case of those appointed as Nazarites by the Lord for life, being singled out by him for special service, they took no vows and were not bound by a limited period of time, the days of which were recalculated from the beginning if the vow was broken, before being completed. For these reasons, the Lord's commandments for them differed somewhat from his requirements for voluntary Nazarites. Samson was as such a God-appointed lifetime Nazarite, having been divinely appointed to be as such before his conception. Even with his mother, there was no question if she wanted her son to be a Nazarite. She was commanded by the angel to observe special regulations, such as not to drink wine, any other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything that is unclean. Judges chapter 2 and verses 14. Nazarite vow is sometimes confused with the statement of our Lord, was called a Nazarene. This is a mistake. The people of the city of Nazareth were called Nazarenes, but those who took a special vow were called the Nazarites. Our Lord was not a Nazarite. He took no vow respecting his hair or use of grapes and the fruit of vine. He was a Nazarene because for years his home had been in that city. It was a city in the lower Galilee where Jesus lived most of his earthly life. Luke chapter 2 and verses 51 and Matthew chapter 13 and verses 54. Samson was consecrated to the Lord's service, and the Lord has accepted his consecration vow. One may ask, so in what way can the Lord use him? We know what the situation was with the Israelites when they settled in the Palestine. They were not loyal to God. They forgot God and worshiped idols. God would punish them for the disobedience. God allowed them to be oppressed by the heathen nations on either side of them. At the time, the Palestinians had by divine permission conquered them and reduced them to a kind of a slavery by not permitting them to have anything except very primitive tools and not allowing amongst them skilled blacksmiths who tried at the time was very largely the forging of steel into swords and spears and other implements of warfare. Thus, the status of Israelites were unarmed, and the Israelites were learning a lesson from the captivity that were also losing their courage. The Israelites would turn to God and ask him for his forgiveness. God forgave his people and would save them by sending judges to help to conquer the enemy. And in chapter 14, we read about Samson's marriage that goes wrong. But when you think about it, God works in very mysterious ways. Samson goes to Timaha, sees a young Palestinian woman that he likes, returns back, speaks to his parents, speaks to his father and mother, and says, I have seen a Palestinian woman in Timnaha. Now get her for me as my wife. She is the right one for me. There must have been a reaction from his parents, as there was no custom in marrying the uncircumcised. Samson went down to Timnaha with his parents, and as they approached the vineyards of Timnaha, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. And we know what happened. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hand. But he told neither to his father nor his mother. And sometimes later when he went back to marry his bride, walking, he turned aside to look at where the lion's carcasses were. And what he found was a swarm of bees and some honey in which he scooped out and ate and gave it to his parents to eat. And then, with the preparation for the wedding, Samson made a feast, as it was customary, for his bridegroom. He was given 30 companies and then told them a riddle. And he said, if you give me an answer within 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. And if you don't give me an answer, you will give me 30 linen garments and clothes. And the riddle, out of the eater, something to eat, out of the strong, something sweet. For 3 days, they could not answer it. So on the 4th day, they threatened his new wife to be, unless you get the answer from your husband, or we will burn down your father's house and you. And sobbing for 7 days. At the feast, finally, she got the answer. Before the sunset of the 7th day, the man of the town said, "What's sweeter than honey? What's stronger than a lion?" And in verse 19 of chapter 14, we are told that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, and he goes to Ashkelon and kills 30 men and takes their clothing and gives them to the ones that explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he returns to his father's place. Samson's wife is given to another friend who has been at the wedding. And then, as the time went on, Samson, not knowing anything of this, goes to visit his wife. But his father-in-law wouldn't let him in to see her, and his daughter to see his daughter. And he said to him, "I was so sure that you totally hated her, and I gave her to your friend." Samson said to them that I will really harm them this time. So, what he does, it was the time of wheat harvest. He catches 300 foxes, possibly, that were jackals. And jackals are kind of a dog that has a long pointed muzzle and a bushy tail and closely resembles to a fox. Ties the foxes by the tails together in pairs and with a torch between each pair. Then he lit the torches and let the foxes run through the fields of the Palestinians, burning grain to the ground, destroying olive trees. Then the Palestinians took vengeance by burning Samson's wife and her father, but he fell upon them in return, and he slaughtered many of them, and then he went to live in a cave in the rock of Etam. The Palestinians gathered an army to revenge themselves. The men of Judah negotiated to make peace by giving up Samson. So they tied him with 2 new ropes and taken him to them. And once again the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The ropes broke like the burnt flax. Samson, finding a jawbone of a donkey, killed another 1,000 Philistines. Another time, being in Gaza, the Philistines tried to capture by shutting the gates of the city with the intention to kill him in the morning. But at midnight, he went out and tore away the gates with the posts and carried them on his shoulders to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Dear brethren, we know the last couple of highlights of Samson's life. It was a vital connection with Delilah from Sorek and her betrayal. The Spirit of the Lord was with Samson, and he could break out of every snare which he was caught up in for as long as he kept his Nazarite vow. Delilah, finding the secret of Samson's great strength, during his sleep, she had shaven off his 7 locks of hair. By breaking his Nazarite vow, he lost his strength. The enemies took him, put out his eyes, and led him down to Gaza. Being in prison, his hair started to grow again. on the day of the great festival in the temple of Dagon, the Philistines went to celebrate the victory over Samson. During the celebration, they had brought forth the blind champion to make fun out of him. Samson asked the servant that led him to the place that he could take him between the main pillars that supported the temple so he can lean against them. Samson starts to cry. In chapter 17 and verses 28 we read, O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more and let me with the one blow get the revenge on the Palestinians for my two eyes. He reached out his hands and with the help of the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him with power, he toppled over the temple, killing about 3,000 men and women. Dear brethren, looking at the story of Samson, what lesson can we take out of it? Samson was a very faithful servant of God. His faithfulness consisted in his loyalty to the divine requirements, to the cause of God and Israel. His faith was continually manifested in all that he did, and his whole life was used in serving his people. Samson was never begotten of the Holy Spirit as a new creature in Christ. And there is a big difference in the Spirit of the Lord coming upon the prophets and the other ancient worthies for the accomplishment of the divine purposes and the operation of the Holy Spirit which applies to the Christian during the gospel age. We are to receive the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of sonship, the Holy Spirit, which more and more permeating our lives will make us more and more like unto our Father in heaven. In all these, Spirit begotten ones will be exemplified growth in grace, knowledge, and love by the development and manifestation, the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit, meekness, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, and brotherly kindness, love. Also, the seven episodes in Samson's life match the experiences of the church in the Revelation in the seven stages of the church. His early betrothal to the Palestine woman and the riddle about the slain lion corresponds to the church of Ephesus, which is recorded in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7. 2. Letting loose 300 foxes in the field of the Palestinians, it corresponds to the church of Smyrna, Revelation chapter 2 and verses 8 to 11. 3. Samson's flight to the rock of Etam corresponds to the church of Pergamon, Revelation chapter 2 and verses 12 to 17. 4. Slaying 1,000 Palestinians with the jaw of a donkey corresponds to the church of Thyatira, Revelation 2 verses 18 to 29. 5. His affair with the chariot and conspiracy to kill him corresponds to the church of Sardis, Revelation 3 and verses 1 to 6. 6. His affair with the liar and his betrayal corresponds to the Church of Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3 and verses 7 to 13. And 7, toppling the pillars, destroying the house of the dragon church, it corresponds to the Church of Laodicea, and it's recorded in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14 to 21. And may this lesson be as an example to us, and may God add his blessing.